4 years ago, a congresswoman from New Mexico set out to improve how the U.S. government responds to violence plaguing indigenous communities.
While there are many federal programs and resources that can be used to combat violent crimes in Indian country, there is no overarching plan or strategy to do so.
That was Deb Holland, a Laguna Pueblo citizen. Her Not Invisible Act was signed into law in 2020. She hoped it would address the high number of indigenous people who are killed or go missing every year.
The legislation set up a commission to study how the Interior and Justice Departments could help prevent those crimes. And at the time, she said Alaska Natives and American Indians must be involved in the effort.
More importantly, a real solution will never be found without the voices of Indigenous survivors, which is what is so special about this bill.
1 year later, President Biden appointed Holland to lead the Interior Department, one of the agencies she'd taken to task. Now, some supporters of the legislation say it's been a disappointment.
The murder rate in Native communities nationwide is more than twice the national average. It's a crisis playing out even in remote communities such as Aniak in western Alaska. Reporter Emily Schwing was there this spring.
About 500 people live in Aniak, nestled on the banks of the upper Kuskokwim River. And the easiest way to get here is to fly. Indigenous people here are not immune to violent crime. The Not Invisible Act Commission identified lots of reasons why. One is substance abuse. Laura Simeon is Aniak's traditional council administrator.
This happens at night, and someone gets murdered, shot up in a truck.
In 2017, an intoxicated man shot his girlfriend and killed another man here with an AK-47. Simeon says these kinds of incidents build up in her community's collective memory.
Not only the family is a victim, the whole community became victims.
The commission also identified a severe shortfall in funding for things like tribal courts, victim specialists, and services to combat domestic violence. In many cases, crimes go unreported.
We can't reach out and ask people if they need help. They have to come and ask for it.
Brianna Simeon works with victims of crime on behalf of the Aniak tribe.
Our first option would
the tribe has a makeshift domestic violence shelter. Two bedrooms in a small house that used to serve as tribal offices. Both are empty, save for a few dead houseflies that litter the floor.
Would you stay in one of these rooms?
If I had to and I had the chance to.
The Not Invisible Act Commission says Indigenous communities face an alarming deficiency of emergency shelters, and it says there just aren't enough police. There used to be a state-funded officer next door, but hiring an officer who's from the community is challenging, and that position hasn't been filled since at least 2017. Simeon says things felt safer back then.
I think so. My friend and I used to go late night running, like condition, get in shape, and we're out past curfew, and he made us run all the way home.
Two state troopers work in Aniak on two-week rotations. They also serve 15 other roadless communities spread across more than 200,000 square miles. They declined to be interviewed. Laura Simeon says people here don't rely on them.
And then maybe the trooper will show up next day or a couple days after. It's not on the spot right when they're most likely needed the most.
There are similar problems in the lower 48, like on the Navajo Nation in the desert southwest, which covers as much territory as the state of South Carolina.
So one of the big issues that we're facing on the nation is the fact that we have we're like at a shortage of manpower when it comes to public safety.
Navajo Nation Council Delegate Eugenia Charles Newton chairs the nation's Law and Order Committee. She agrees there isn't enough law enforcement, and even if there were, police alone won't reduce violent crime.
So it's a combination of, you know, resources, it's a combination of changing the laws, and a big part of that, too, is Congress needs to understand that these things are happening here in Indian country.
Back in November, the Not Invisible Act Commission offered more than 300 recommendations for changes at the U.S. Departments of Justice and Interior. Both agencies missed the legally required deadline to respond by more than a month. Tammy Drew is a Not Invisible Act commissioner in Alaska.
For me personally, we don't want this commission report to sit on the shelf.
The Department of Justice and Interior's response only directly addressed a fraction of the commission's recommendations. It noted many would require additional funding approved by Congress or changes to federal law.
It seems like it's a bit of a non-response, and only because, you know, needing action is the important aspect of this report.
Indigenous people have held Deb Haaland in high regard since she became the first ever Indigenous cabinet secretary. So a lot of people are hesitant to criticize her. But a number of commissioners say their confidence in her ability to champion Indigenous needs is slipping.
Emily Schwing joins us now. So Emily, what does Secretary Haaland have to say about her own agency's response to the reforms she called for as a member of Congress now that she leads the Department of the Interior? That's an agency she said needed change.
Well, we really don't know because she declined multiple requests for interviews. I did speak with a number of Not Invisible Act commissioners, and they were disappointed in the process. Over 8 months, they hosted several field hearings, but they say there just wasn't enough time to take in the often gut-wrenching testimony from a lot of Native people who've experienced violent crime. Commissioner Tammy Drew told me she's working on a counter-response for agencies. She says she still wants to work with agencies to take action on some of the recommendations outlined in the commission's report.
All right, that's Emily Schwing in Alaska. Emily, thanks.
Thank you.